Today's Shir Masech Tezvachim, Daf Tezvav. We will begin on Daf Yud Dal Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Yibayluhu, halacha shle beregel, shma halacha, lo shma halacha. Is halacha that's done not in the traditional way, where somebody walks with the dam, somebody walks with the blood that's in the klisharis, but rather it's transported along by people pushing it along, moving it along without carrying it. Is that considered a halacha or not? And as the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara's question, they explain that the Gemara's question is relevant on a number of levels. The Gemara's question includes that since halacha is one of the avoidas, was this avoida considered to have been accomplished if it was a halacha shle beregel? That's one part of the question. Another part of the question is if somebody had a mind to do this halacha, have a wrong machshava, machshava shloi lishma, a machshava's pigle. If somebody had that kind of a machshava, doing of a halacha what wasn't done beregel, is that considered a halacha, that the halacha should be, that will disqualify the carbon? Or do we say that since it's not considered a valid halacha, so therefore, any machshava that takes place during it is not going to disqualify the carbon. Toshma, v'ken yoshev, the Braisa says, and we'll discuss these halachas later in the Mishnah of the beginning of the next parak, various circumstances where avoida becomes possible. And the Braisa says, v'ken yoshev, if the kohen does the avoida while he's sitting, v'ken kain smol, or if he does the avoida with his left hand, possible that disqualifies the avoida. What does that seem to indicate? It's only because the kohen is sitting when he's doing the avoida. And that's why it's disqualified. Were he to stand while he's doing the avoida? If he was just standing, but like in a sitting position, he's standing in one spot, that would be fine. So we see that as long as he's standing, even though he's not moving, it's acceptable. Answers the Gemara, it means the Nayit Porta, that he just moves a little. And as I saw the Mefarshim say, it's not to say, interesting approach, that our question has not been answered at all. Because included in the question, they explain, does halacha have to be halacha beregel or not? Is included that if we'll say halacha has to be beregel, what does that mean? Does halacha beregel mean that it has to be a full-fledged walking, or just shuffling a little is adequate? And this much we've identified, they explain. The denayit porta is also halacha, but it's still a halacha beregel. So Gemara attempts further. Toshma, shachet Yisrael, where Yisrael did the shechita, the kibla koyin, after Yisrael does the shechita, because as we learned, shechita is ksher b'zor. A kohen does the kabbalas adam, and then he keeps on moving it down, so to speak, down the assembly line. That's going to be an acceptable way of doing the avodah. It's not a halacha beregel. Isn't this a raya that you don't need halacha beregel? Answers the Gemara, hasam nami denayit porta, that it's moving along the assembly, that it's moving along. Or my kamashmalon, what is it teaching us? The Baroi Vam Hadras Melech. So as the Mefarshim explained, this is a brisa that we learned in Masech the Pesachim. And the Gemara Masech the Pesachim, when it quotes this brisa, the brisa is teaching us exactly what were the procedures by the Karim Pesach. So if the brisa were teaching us that halacha doesn't have to be done with people moving physically with the dam, so the Braisa has something new to teach us. But if now we're saying that the Braisa doesn't necessarily mean that somebody move, that if the Braisa were teaching us that you don't have to move, so we have a Chiddush, that you don't have to move and it's still considered halacha. But now that we're teaching that the Braisa means that they moved, so what does the Braisa come to teach us? It's the old-fashioned halacha. Answers the Gemara, there is a Chiddush in the Braisa. What is the Chiddush in the Braisa? That instead of one kohen doing the halacha, they specifically took many kohanim because the Baroi Am Hadras Melech, the more people involved, is chashev Hashem. Interesting to note, we can speak about Baroi Am Hadras Melech it's a sugya for itself. Just to say one interesting tshuva that I saw from Dazarua. Dazarua is a Rishon. Dazarua says that the minig, there was a minig in a shul. Many shuls I've seen this minig, especially during the week, that whoever is the Baal Tefillah on Monday and Thursday, he's standing right next to the Aron Kodesh anyway. So when they have to take out the Sefer Torah, he just goes and opens up the Aron Kodesh and takes out the Sefer Torah. And the Gabbam wanted it should be a kibud, Hatzav Achnasa. And he wanted to keep the kibud for himself. Dar Zerua says, B'roiv Am Hadras Melech, having more people involved and taking out the Sefer Torah from the Aron is a covet for the Sefer Torah, and it should not be the same person who's about to feel it be the person taking out the Sefer Torah from the Aron. Interesting, Machloikus Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. We've clearly identified that the Gemara is saying that the Braisa could be speaking about a case that it wasn't just that it was passed along the dam, but there was movement. The question that the Rishonim, the Mishnah Melech discusses this, the Me'iri discusses this, who moved? Some Rishonim say that it was the last Kayan along the line. He was the one that moved it to the Mizbeach. You don't need that they should all move. And other Rishonim say that no, the Nayit Purta means that every Kayan, in order that it should be considered a proper halacha, has to move with the dam. Tashma, so the Gemara tries one more Braisa. The Braisa says later in Amasechta, Kibla Kosher. If the Kabbalah was done by a Kohen, the Nosan Apostle, and then he was given, and he gave the dam to the Apostle, is the Locha, Yachsla Kosher. You should give it back to the Kohen. So this is teaching us a number of halachas. One halacha is that just because the apostle received it, that doesn't disqualify the carbon. It also seems to be teaching us that halacha shlei beregel is apostle. Because how are we understanding the braisa? The way we're understanding the braisa is, there's a kohen who gives it to Yisrael. So fine, just because he gave it to the Yisrael, it doesn't become disqualified. But what is the braisa saying? That the Yisrael shouldn't have a Kohen come and pick it up from him. Because if that would halacha, it would be a ride that halacha shlei beregel is fine. Because from the amount, from the Kohen to the Yisrael, there was an improper halacha. The Brice is saying, just let the Kohen pick it up from the Yisrael, wherever he is. So isn't that a raya that the fact that the Kohen has to take it back, that till now it wasn't being done right? Let's read the words inside. Kibla kosher nosan l'posol, yachser, Lakosher, you have to give it back. Why do you have to give it back? To undo what was done. Why must you undo what was done? Because till now you had an improper halacha. Says the Gemara, that's not necessarily what the Braisa means. It doesn't mean that you have to give it back. Wherever the Yisrael is standing, the second Kohen can pick it off from him. If that's the case, then it could be that it, on the contrary, it's a ride that the halacha that was not a proper halacha doesn't disqualify anything. So we have no raya from this braisa. However, says the Gemara, Itmar ulu amar v'yachan, halacha shlei beregel shlei shlei halacha. It's not considered a proper halacha. Now ask the Gemara, efshleskuna lo efshleskuna. The halacha wasn't done properly. But the question is, it could always be rectified. Can you just give it back to the original kohen? And now it should be carried properly. And here, Tudor Mefarsh make a very important point. Certainly, if you could do Kabbalah Saddam and start from scratch all over again, you still have the animal in front of you, and it still has blood that you could take out of its neck and do a new Kabbalah Saddam, then you don't have any question. That's what you should do. And that's not a problem. As long as you have blood from your carbon, you're fine. Here we're referring to a situation where the animal is no longer here, you don't have dam. So if you're not going to do Kabbalah with the dam that you have, you're not going to do the carbon with this dam, you're not going to do it at all. So now the Gemara's question is, can it be rectified or not? Efshleskuna lo efshleskuna. Toshma. So the Braisa, the Gemara again tries to bring a raya from the Braisa that we just learned. The Braisa says, Kibla kosher. If the Kabbalah was done properly, the Nosan l'posel, and then he gave it to Yisrael, Yachsa l'kosher. Give it back to the Kohen. Says the Gemara, V'nei nami de Yachsa kosher yikablena. Let's say we'll even learn, not like the Gemara learned a moment ago. When it means give it back to him where he's standing. But says the Gemara, Isa al-Kadatach, if we're going to learn, loy efshel askuna, that it can no longer be rectified once it was done improperly. Ifsala, once the Yisrael gave it to the Kohen this way, it became permanently disqualified. So what is accomplished by giving it back to the Kohen? The fact that the Braisa suggests that the Yisrael who got it improperly just should give it back to the Kohen where he is standing is a clear indication that even though it was perhaps done improperly, it could still be rectified. Answers to Gemara. Mi savrit koizar gavoy loy, the koizar baroy. And this is the way the Mefarshim explain this Gemara. Beautiful pshat. What is halacha all about? What does halacha represent? Halacha represents bringing the blood after the Kabbalah Saddam towards the Mizbeach. Anything that's not accomplishing that is not an act of halacha. So now let's think about it, say, the Rishonim explaining our Gemara. The Kabbalah was done right here, where we're standing. The Mizbeach is, let's say, to my left. What would happen if the dam, when the Kohen gave the dam to the Yisrael, the halacha shloi beregel, the improper halacha, the Yisrael isn't standing to my left, he's standing to my right. Is that an act of halacha? Clearly not. Why is it not an act of halacha? Because it's in the opposite direction. The Mizbeach is to the left, and he transported it to the right. When is there a concept that your halacha has to be done properly, and if it was done improperly, it's irrectifiable? It's only if the halacha was done as a halacha. What is the definition of halacha, we said? Moving towards the Mizbeach. But if the Yisrael is sitting on the other side, that isn't the act of halacha. It can't be a possible halacha. It's not a halacha in the first place. However, they go on to say a very important vart. So now they moved the dam in the wrong direction. They gave it to the Yisrael and they moved it in the wrong direction. And now a Kohen will come and take it from the Yisrael. So at what point must the Kohen be taken from him? Does the Kohen pick it up from where he's standing? Or does the Kohen pick it up from where he was originally? He has to pick it up from where he's standing. Why? Because if he's picking it up from where the Yisrael is standing and moving it towards the Mizbeach, that is an act of halacha. The fact that it's further than it was originally is irrelevant. And if we're not going to have that halacha done properly, we're indeed going to have a situation where the halacha was done improperly. So that's what the Braisa is talking about. We have no araya. Eisvei, says the Gemara, Itma, however, says the Gemara, Amu Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha shloi beregel psula. Alma layesh laskuna. And here we have Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi and the Shita. What is the Gemara saying? Rashi is saying, we already, that the fact that the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan sort of changes his terminology. Before we had Rabbi Yochanan saying, halacha shloi beregel lo shma halacha. Here he uses the word psula. What is Rabbi Yochanan changing his wording for? He's changing his word to tell us that not only is halacha shloi beregel lo shma halacha, but also to tell us it can't be rectified. That's how Rashi explains. The Shita explains it differently. As a simpler word. He says, Rabbi Yochanan already told us halacha shloi beregel lo shma halacha. Why do you have to repeat himself saying halacha shloi beregel psula? He wanted to add that not only is halacha shloi beregel not a halacha, but it can't be rectified. Alma, what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to teach us, la'efsh l'skuna. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed true? Eisei Rav Nachman l'ula. We're going to learn later in Amasechta. The Mishnah speaks about the following situation. Nishmach min akele el ritzba. If blood fell out of the keli onto the floor of the azara, vasva, and he picked it up, kosher. Let's think about this. And you pick it up and you carry it, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, isn't dam on the floor a halacha shloi beregel? It's clearly a halacha shloi beregel. And if we're paskening that a halacha shloi beregel can't be rectified, so how does the Mishnah say that? Just pick it up and you're fine. So I want to tell you over a beautiful Rav Chaim that I saw. It says, Rav Chaim, what's the Gemara's kasha? When I learned the Gemara, the immediate machshava that I had is that what's Gemara going to answer? You can't compare this case to the cases that we spoke till now. Because till now we spoke about giving it to another human being, a Yisrael, not giving it to him properly. Here we didn't give it to another person, here it fell on the floor. So maybe there's enough gemina between where it fell on the floor or I gave it to a person who's not supposed to get it, or I gave it to him the wrong way. But you'll see the Gemara doesn't give that teretz. Why doesn't the Gemara give the obvious teretz, asks Reb Chaim. Says Reb Chaim, a gevaldig gevart, and it's the vart that we said a minute ago. He says, what is the definition of halacha? We said the definition of halacha is transporting the blood towards the mizbeach. And today we're learning that not only is there a definition that it has to be transported to the mizbeach, but there are very specific rules how it has to be transported. And if you didn't fulfill those rules, you got a problem. So he says, what's the difference if it fell on the floor, you gave it to the wrong person? You didn't transport it the proper way. And therefore the Gemara's question is very legitimate. The halacha wasn't done properly. And if Rabbi Yochanan is paskening that once the halacha was done improperly, it's too late. So why over there? Is it not too late? Answers the Gemara. Hachamai skinen, kshiyotza lechutz. Similar terms to what we learned a moment ago. Indeed, if the blood would have spilled towards the mizbeach, it can't be rectified. It spilled in the other direction. That's not a halacha. It's the opposite of halacha. Ask the Gemara. We're talking about blood spilling on the floor. Liberoi nafik legavoi loy ayel. How could you control that it should only go in one direction? And as the Rishash explains, because even if you're going to try to separate the blood that spill on the floor, some moving towards the mizbeach and some moving the other direction and picking up the blood that moved in the other direction, blood all mixed, so you'll never be able to do it. And says the Gemara, the Makom Madrin. It's spilled on a place that's an incline, and the incline is in the opposite direction. That's why it's not considered a halacha. Or, ibais eima, beguma. It's spilled in a hole, and the hole is on the other side, not in the direction of the mizbeach. Or, ibais eima, besmicha. It's very thick blood that doesn't spread. I have to say, it's not also to look in Rashi. So Rashi says a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, inami besmicha, dam Ova v'kar of l'karish. Rashi is beautiful. Why does Rashi use the word v'kar of l'karish? So the Mefarshim explain, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, the dam that's karish, the dam that's completely congealed, can't be used for zrika. So says Rashi, you're going to learn the Gemara, and you're going to see that the Gemara says smicha. And your Rebbe is going to tie smicha, means congealed. And then what we're going to learn later in the Masechta, you're going to say, how could it be congealed dam? Congealed dam is possible for Zrika. So Rashi says it's not Karish, it's only Karav L'Karish. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, V'ech botana l'shminin kolhani. So it turns out that this Mishnah is speaking about a very interesting situation, that your dam spilled on the floor, and it spilled in the wrong direction. And that's why you could save it. Is that... And it's with all these interesting scenarios. It's difficult to say that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, Adatana be the Pirkin. We're going to learn further in that Mishnah. Nitzbach, al Ritzba, let's say the dam spilled on the floor. And the person who picked it up was apostle, was non-Kayan, that would disqualify it. Says the Gemara, why do we have to speak about that being the case, apostle? Lufluk b'didah, we should have said it different. But medvar mamurim, when is there no problem if the dam spilled on the floor and somebody picked it up? A Kohen Kosher picked it up. Geshiyatz l'chutz only if it spilled in the opposite direction of the Mizbeach. Avol nichnas l'fnim. If it spilled in the direction of the Mizbeach. So we have a apostle l'halacha and it can't be rectified. So why didn't the Brice and Mishnah teach that case? Much bigger chiddush and much more what we're talking about. To Yufta. So says the Gemara, indeed, the halacha can be rectified. Continues the Gemara. Itma, so not a Gemara wants to suggest, the halacha shlo beregel, this issue about halacha not done by carrying the blood, should actually be the machlokes of Shimon Rabbanan. It should be the machlokes that we learned of Shimon and Rabbanan. The Rav Shimon we learned in the Mishnah said that a halacha that's avoidable is not considered a halacha. But not a Gemara has a little different twist in understanding that machlokes. And the Gemara suggests as follows. Balacha rapsi, in a case where you shecht it far away from the Mizbeach, and you actually have to carry the blood to get towards the Mizbeach, suggests the Gemara, this is where Rashi learns the Gemara, the Kulam le'plig le'psula. Everywhere will be agreed that you have to carry the dam, and since you have to carry the dam, if you don't carry it properly, if you have a wrong machshava, shlo l'shma, during that halacha, the carbon becomes pilgrim. Key plug, bezutrasi. Their argument is, where you shecht it right next to the mizbeach. And if you shecht it right next to the mizbeach, all you need to do is just throw the dam onto the Mizbech. You don't have to carry it. Rav Shimon is going to hold that that's not a halacha, and therefore there's no problem of being makshavis during that halacha. Rabbanan are going to hold that that is also an act of halacha, and therefore you have to be concerned about the makshava. So we see that the halacha of just not moving it, but throwing it, is a shayla, machlokes Rav Shimon Rabbanan, is it considered a halacha? Ask the Gemara, is that possible? Machlokes Merova, if you're going to say that that's adequate. And that's considered a halacha. Let's think about the following case, as the Gemara. El chatas oif. The way a chatas oif is brought is that they do malika on the bird, and they swing the bird, and the blood of the bird flies onto the mizbeach. The psulabar machshava. And the halacha is that it could become shloi lishma by this chatas oif too. Ask the Gemara, Lerb Shimon Heichem Mishkakslo. Exactly, when would that come and become possible? Because let's think about it. If the machshava took place before the dam was expelled from the body of the bird, there's nothing happening yet as far as the halacha is concerned. If the machshava happened afterwards, it's already too late. It must be that what is considered the halacha, the dam flying from the bird to the Mizbeach. So how could you say that Rav Shimon holds that's not a halacha? Otherwise, where do you have a halacha by Chatas Oif that you could have a Shloi L'Shma Machshava? Says the Mar, my kosha. Dilma, mid the Mafresh, v'ad the Matam Mizbeach, from when the dam leaves the animal until it hits the Mizbeach, that's going to be considered part of the Zrika. And if somebody had a Machshava during that time, Shloi L'Shma, the carbon will be possible. Because explains the Gemara. The Bar Mnei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira. Hayamaza. If a Kohen was doing this act, and now the blood was expelled from the bird, and before the blood hits the Mizbeach, v'nok the Yad Shomaza, the Rechman saw the hand of the Kohen fell off. Actually, Giyad Dam Al-Avir Mizbeach, before the dam hit the Mizbeach. Mahu, what's the Halacha? And Amalei Psula, that it's possible. Because it turns out that blood was sprinkled by a coin that's a balmum. Now the question is, why is it possible? If the avoid is finished the moment the blood leaves the animal, leaves the bird, and at that point he still had his hand, why would it be possible? My tama. It must be because the he's of a nosam binan. The act is not finished until it hits the mizbeach. And since it's not finished until it hits the mizbeach, if he became balmum before, there won't be an act, it will not have been done properly. So just to quickly review, what the Gemara is saying now is, according to Rav Shimon, you could have a time to have the Machshava Shloi L'Shma is from when the dam left the bird until it hit the Mizbeach, because you're not considered that you have completed your mitzvah until it hit the Mizbeach. So that question is off. A few important points to make. One Ha'ara, I don't want to dwell on it because we're going to talk about it later. When is it considered that you finished doing Zrika? So everybody would assume when it hits the Mizbeach. That's the Zrika Sadam. Let's look at the words of the Gemara. Actually, Giyadam Lavir HaMizbeach. From here it seems to say that as soon as it comes into the airspace of the Mizbeach, it's already considered Zrika Sadam. It's something to bear in mind as we get deeper into the Masechta, we'll speak about Hilchas Zrika. Interesting Machlokes Rishonim. Fascinating. The Gemara spoke about the following situation. The Kohen did the mitzui, the whole thing with the chatas oif, the dam leaves, and his hand falls off before the dam hits the mizbeach. So what's the problem with his hand falling off? So Rashi says, because he's a balmum. And we're going to learn a mission in a few moments, the Ezra Hashem, that a kohen is balmum, is not allowed to do ravoida. The Ramba, so let's understand what Rashi's saying. It turns out that he's a balmum. And a balmum is a kohen that's possible, and he needs not to be a balmum until the avoid is complete. If that's Rashi's explanation, it would not only be that case. What would be the halacha if he took off his big day kahuna? It would be the same din. We're going to learn, spend a lot of time in the next parak, a kohen without the big day kahuna is not allowed to do the avoid. So even if he Baruch Hashem has his hand, but he took off the big day kahuna, it would be the same halacha, it seems. The Rambam has a different approach. He says, if he wasn't a Balmum when he did the Avodah, the fact that he became a Balmum afterwards doesn't make a difference to me. The Rambam's approach is, because it turns out that the zrika was done by a kohen who didn't have a hand. Because the zrika is not complete until it hits the mizbeach. By the time it hits the mizbeach, he lost his hand, and it was done by a kohen without the hand. So I sort of mefarshim ask an interesting question according to Rashi's approach that he's a balmum. What would be one of the halakhas that we're going to learn, we actually refer to it at the beginning of our shir, is a kohen who does the avodah when he's sitting. It's possible. So let's speak about a very simple case. The kohen did this zrika, and he sat himself down right after, before it hit the mizbeach. Will it be possible or not? According to Rashi. Is it like a balmum? Is it like the kohen who took off his big day kohuna? So before I answer that question, I want to say over a tshuva that I saw for Rameir Arik. Rameir Arik is Dimri Yosha, the Torah Neruf. He asked the following question based on this Gemara. He says, all of us are Mechalal Shabbos, based on this Gemara. At least our wives are. He says, your wife puts on the candles Friday, before Shabbos. But the Gemara, they're on. The whole purpose of them being on is to be on into Shabbos. And our Gemara says that the act is not considered complete until it's over. So as long as the candles are on, it's considered her act. It's a Mukhi Yosef, right. Speaks about it. Very good. So why? It's good to speak to Talmid HaChacham. So, what do you call it? Why is there no problem? Why is there no problem? So he defines it beautifully. He says there are two concepts. There's a concept of a Maisa, and there's a concept of a mitzvah. Maisa and mitzvah are not synonymous. Al Gemara is talking about the mitzvah. When is the mitzvah of Zrikas Hadam completed? The mitzvah of Zrikas Hadam is completed only when the dam hits the mizbeach. Up to that point, the mitzvah is not considered completed. Then there's a din of Maisa. In Shabbos, there's nothing. Melacha on Shabbos has nothing to do with a mitzvah. Melacha on Shabbos is actually an Aveira. It's a Maisa. Maisa has different rules. Your Maisa is when you lit the candles. After you finish lighting them, you have no more Maisa. And therefore, there's no problem if you light your candles Friday afternoon. Now let's go back to my Shaila, about the Yoshev. Why, and we're going to speak about this a lot in the next paragraph. Why is Yoshev a problem? What's the problem of a kohen sitting when he does the Avoida? The answer is, because it's not respectful to do Avoida. The Maisa Avoida should not be done when you're sitting. A Maisa Avoida, it's not respectful, whatever the reason is. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah, it has to do with the Maisa. So as long as the kohen was standing during the Maisa Zrika, the Maisa Zrika, we all agree, ends when I finish doing this, when the kohen finishes sprinkling. The mitzvah doesn't finish. But Yoshev is only an issue regarding the Maisa, not regarding the mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Kiyosra papa Rav Huna b'rei d'vishuvim b'rav amma hain halacha, hain achucha. This is why they were laughing at this explanation. About halacha rapsi lo pligi, they don't argue about when they have to walk a long time. For pligi balach sarapsi. That was the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah was when they had to walk from wherever the halacha was done until the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, and I'm going to read with the girsa of Rashi. Ella says the Gemara, by halacha zitrusa kulam loy pligi de posla. Which means as follows. If the halacha was done right next to the Mizbeach, and this is Rashi's pshat in the Gemara, if the halacha was done right, if the shechita was done right next to the mizbeach, the kabbalah was done right next to the mizbeach. But you have this small halacha, albeit the small halacha that you have to do, that halacha has to be done properly. Why? Going back to the lamdas that we learned. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. Because this minimal halacha you have to do. Ki pligi, where do we have Rav Shimon Rabbanan arguing? Balacha rapsi. When they did this halacha far away from the mizbeach. Rav Shimon's opinion is, it was avoidable. Who told you to do this halacha so far away from the Mizbeach? Rabbanan said you have to get it to the Mizbeach. And therefore, it's fine. Therefore, it's a problem. One more nice vart. I saw from the Shal's Chuvus Eretz Tzvi, the Kozlov Govorov. He discusses the following question. The question comes up in America too. Let's say you have in a matzah bakery, people working in the matzah bakery, and it turns out that you find that the people who are making the dough into matzah weren't Jewish. So you couldn't have in mind Lishma. or they turned out to be ketanim, ketanim ein boidas. What's the status of your matzahs? So, at first glance, he wants to say, that's the machlokes of Rav Shimon Rabbanim. Why? Because the halacha is, a matzah, I'm not saying that we do this, I'm not saying that a matzah bakery that would do this would be in business a long time. But a pid din, a matzah is allowed to be a tefach thick. So, he says, the people who are at the end of the line, who are making them into flat matzahs, really what they're doing is not necessary. It's avoidable. If we follow Rav Shimon's approach, avoidable avoid is not an avoider. But what about, we don't pass on like Rav Shimon, we pass on like Rabbanon. And Rabbanon hold that even if it's unavoidable, it's still considered halacha. So what's going to be the status of those matzahs? Says the Kozel Gavrov, Goyness. He says as follows. He says, what's the case that we just learned? You could have, you should have done halacha, you should have done your Kabbalah and halacha right next to the Mizbeach. But you didn't. You did it far away from the Mizbeach. And as we said so many times in our shiur just today, you need to get that dam from wherever it is to the Mizbeach to complete the avodah. So Rabbanan hold that you can't call avoidable. It's not avoidable. At this point, maybe you shouldn't have gotten yourself into this position, but at this point, you have the dam here, you have the Mizbeach here, and you got to get the dam from where it is to the Mizbeach. So they say, that's not called a halacha, that's not a halacha. You must have that halacha. But says the Kozel Gavrov, you have your matzah at this point, next to that woman, next to that child who isn't Jewish, who is a katan. If you wanted, could you take that matzah, even according to Rabbanah, at this point and put it into the oven? Absolutely. You want to send matzah, but there's no problem halachically of putting it into the oven. In the case of the halacha, you have to do the halacha now. Here you could still get away with it, even at this late point. And that's why he says it's kosher. Continues the Gemara. Halicha zar. A vazar started carrying it. V'chzir kayin, and the kayin takes it back for where it was. V'chaz v'halicha. And he carries it properly. What will be the halacha? And here too there's a very fundamental vart from Chaim Briska. Chaim Briska says that this question that we're discussing now of halicha zar has nothing to do with what we spoke about till now about halacha shel beregel. He says halicha zar is far worse than halicha shel beregel. Why? Because halacha shel beregel, he says, even if it's not a proper halacha, so you have no halacha. Halicha zar is that when a zar does an avoida, it passes the avoida, and therefore it has nothing to do with the previous question. Halicha zar v'chzir kain v'chaz v'halichai. Says the Gemara plig by Rav Chiya v'Rav Yanai. Charam akasher v'charam apostle. What is the machlokes? Masover. The man that says it's kasher says because efshel skuna, even though it was done improperly, can be rectified. A masover loy efshel skuna. Continues the Gemara. Halicha kain. If a kain carried it to the mizbeach v'chzir and then it was brought back to where it was originally v'chaz v'halicha zar. So the Gemara said, what will be the halacha? Amar Rav Simi bar Ashi, l'divrei ha-machsha posel, l'divrei ha-posel machsha. Pshat is as follows. In the previous, we just learned a piece of Gemara, where at first the Zohar carried it, and the Kohen corrected it. And we learned the machlokes is a good or not. So the Gemara now wants to assume, what is the basis of that machlokes? The basis of that machlokes is, do we look at the first act, or do we look at the second act? The man that says it's posel says we look at the first act. Who did the first halacha? The Tzar. The man that says it's kosher says we look at the second act. And who did the second one? The Kohen. So now says the Gemara, following that logic, in this case where the Kohen did the first halacha and the Yisrael did the second halacha, the opinion should be just the opposite. The man that says that we go after the first act, it's fine, because who was the first one to carry it? The Kohen. The man that says it's possible will be the man that says that we look at the second act. Who did the second carrying? The Yisrael. Says the Gemara, no. Rav Amar, afla divrei posel posel. Even the man that says that we look at the first act, here we'll have to, we can't ignore the second act. My tama, the tzarchum tuyri. We can't ignore the fact that it has to get to the Mizbeach. And who is the one that brought it to the Mizbeach? The Zohar. My tama, the tzarchum tuyri. Amle Rav Yemiel Rav Ashi. This question Is that a factor in halacha? If it has to make it to the Mishnah, make it to the Mizbeach or not, the Gemara wants to suggest is Machlokes Reb Elezer Rabbanan. And what we need to do for a moment is go back to the Mishnah. It was something that we didn't spend time when we learned the Mishnah, but we have to learn it now. We learned the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We first had the opinion of the Rabbanan that a halacha is considered a very important avoda. Then Rav Shimon says, halacha is avoidable. We just finished discussing Rav Shimon on Amud Aleph. Then we had the last part of the Mishnah. Rav Elezer Omer, Hamahalach b'makom shetzarach lahalach, machshava pesalos, b'makom she'enet zar lahalach, ein machshava pesalos. We didn't spend time understanding Rav Elezer. There's a fundamental question in looking at what Rav Elezer says. First of all, you have to know what he says. But besides knowing what he says, there's two ways of understanding Rav Elezer. There's one way of understanding that Rav Elezer has a machlokes with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says halacha is always a problem. Rav Shimon says halacha is never a problem. Rav Elezer says sometimes yes and sometimes not. According to that, he's arguing with the Rabbanim. Another way of understanding Rav Elezer is Rav Elezer is defining the Rabbanim. So now the Gemara wants to suggest that Rav Elezer and the Rabbanim are arguing. Machlokes, and this question, the Gemara wants to say, is actually going to be a machlokes Rav Elezer Rabbanim. Because repeats the Gemara what we just read in the Mishnah. If it's something you had to do, that's considered a halacha, and therefore machshava pesalos, so improper machshava, will passel it. Makmish ain't tzarach lahalach, ain't machshava pesalos. And therefore says, suggests Rava as follows. Amar Rava, hakamoydim kibbel b'chutz, that if you makabel the dam far away from the mizbeach, v'chnisa b'fnim, and now you have to carry it towards the mizbeach, zahil shetzarach lahalach. That's a full-fledged halacha, and Rabbi Elezer and Rabbanan are going to agree that that's a halacha, and a machshava will passel it. Kibbel b'fnim v'tzi l'chutz. Let's say you have just the opposite situation. Where you mekabel the dam right next to the mizbeach, and then instead of carrying it towards the mizbeach, you carried it in the opposite direction. Everybody will agree, zehil sh'enet tzarech l'halach. That's not a halacha. Very consistent what we've been learning in our entire shir. A halacha that goes in the opposite direction of the mizbeach is not a halacha. What will be the machlokes of Rav Elezer and Rabbanan? El kishachnisoi, when you took the dam towards the mizbeach, the chizav etziah, and now you moved it away from the mizbeach, and now you want to bring it back. Masava, the Rabbanan will hold hatzachim to you. There's the concept you have to get it to the mizbeach, and since you have to get it to the mizbeach, even though it was once there, that doesn't change the reality that you need to get it next to the mizbeach, and that's why it's called a halacha. Or masav, Rav Elezer is going to be opinion lafke hilach. Since the halacha was once accomplished properly, I now was moved away, and now it has to get back. That doesn't make it into a halacha. So Gemara wants to say, at this point, that this question, this concept of tzorach l'mtuye, that you need to get it to the mizbeach, is that make it into an act of halacha or not, is the actual subject of the machlokes Rav Elezer Rabbanan. Rav Elezer says it doesn't make it into a halacha, the Rabbanan say it does make it into a halacha. Eisvei, Abaya, asks Abaya, how can we say that that's the way to understand Rabbi Elezer? It says in Abaisa, Rabbi Elezer Omer, Mahalach Mokum Shetzarach Lahalach, Mechshava Peselis. If it's a halacha that you have to do, that's considered a halacha, and an improper machshava will disqualify that. Ketzet, Kibbel Bechut, Vechnisa Refnim, Zez Hilach Shetzarach Lahalach. If you are far away from the Mizbeach, and you have to walk towards the Mizbeach, that's a full-fledged halacha. Kibbel v'fnim, v'tzi l'chutz, but let's say you're moving away from the Mizbeach, zeh hilch she'enet tzarech l'halach. V'chaz v'chnisa hilch she'tzarech l'halachu. Ask the Gemara, but what about the next case? If we're saying that the definition of Rav Elezer is that you have to do it, makes it into a necessary halacha, here too you have to do it, because you've got to get the dam to the Mizbeach. What does this mean? What this means is as follows. This b'raisa is defining Rav Elezer. And this b'raisa is teaching us that if it's something you have to do, even though you didn't really have to get into this, you didn't have to get into the mess, but now that you're there, it's considered a halacha. What is this b'raisa saying? The b'raisa is saying there's no machlokes Rav Elezer Rabbanan. That they both agree that tzorach l'mtuye, if you have to get into the mizbeach, even though you already maybe even did a good halacha, that doesn't make that the second act is not a halacha. Because Rav Elazar and Rav Baran aren't arguing. Any halacha that you have to do is a halacha. And any time that you have a situation of tzorch l'mtuye, that's a necessary halacha. And therefore, the Machshav Pasal, Rav Elazar and Rav Baran are in agreement. And therefore, it could well be that everybody will agree that if the blood was first carried by a Kohen and then by Yisrael, it's a problem because now we have a situation where the blood was taken the wrong way. It actually gets easier in the second parak. Says the Mishnah, Kol Zvachim Shekiblum Dom, all Zvachim that the Kabbalah Sadom were done by a Zor or Einin. Einin we know is somebody who lost a close relative. Certainly, on the day of the Ptira, up to the Kavura, everybody agrees is an Einin. We're going to discuss if he's an Einin still after the Kavura, if it's by day. We're going to discuss if he's an Einin by night. Tfilyoim. Tfilyoim is an individual who became Tomei. Tfilyoim is an individual who became Tomei, and he went to the mikvah, but the halach is until he has Harav Shemesh, until the day of that he goes to the mikvah ends, until that day ends, he's a tfilyoim that we're going to discuss later in the parak, has different levels of tumah. Umechusel kapurim, somebody who was tamei, was matar himself, but has to bring certain kabbonis. This is typically by a mitzayra or a zav. Mechusel begadim, we discussed earlier, he's now wearing the big day kahuna. And as we're going to learn in this parak, it's not only somebody who's now wearing the big day kahuna, it also includes somebody who's wearing more too many begadim, or it also includes somebody who's wearing torn big day kuhuna. Shlei rochatz yudayim reglaim, he didn't do kiddush yudayim reglaim. We're going to spend time in this parak learning how the entire avoida of being mekadosh yudayim reglaim from the kiyur took place. Oral is somebody who didn't have a bris milah. Very big machlokes rishonim, Rashi and Tosis regarding an oral. What would be the halacha if somebody didn't have a bris milah because there's a health issue in the family? His two older brothers passed away during the Mila. Is he considered an Oral or not? Rashi says he's considered an Oral, and Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam says he's not considered an Oral. Tosfos says the only one that's considered an Oral is somebody who deliberately didn't do a Bris Mila. Tamei, somebody who's Tamei. So I saw that the Rishonim already asked, why does the Mishnah say Tfil Yoim and then Tamei? It should have said Tamei and then Tfilyoim. Tfilyoim is a bigger Chiddush than Tamei. So I saw three answers. One answer is that the Mishnah sometimes speaks about Lozu Afsu style. That's this Mishnah. Another answer is because, as we're going to learn in the Perek, the Din of a Tamei is connected to the Din of an Oral. So the Mishnah specifically wanted to put Tamei next to Oral. And another answer I saw is like this. Someone who's a Tfilyoim can become Tamei. What does that mean? Let's say today was the day you went to the mikveh. You went to the mikveh at 11 o'clock in the morning. The day ends at 6 o'clock at night. And between 11 and 6, you became full-fledged tamei. So you can become, somebody who's tfilyoim can become tamei. But somebody who's tamei can't become a tfilyoim. He's going to the mikveh is meaningless. Yoshev, somebody who does the avoid as he's sitting. Oimed, agav behem, standing not directly on the floor, or agav ragel chaveroi, standing on top of utensils, on top of a behema, or on top of somebody else's feet, they're all chatzitzis, posel. Kiva b'smol, if he did the avoida with the left hand, posel, Rav Shimon Machshon. Sfasemis has an interesting shaila. Here the Mishnah speaks about, if you stand on top of somebody else's feet, then you're considered, that's considered a posel. What happens if somebody stands having one foot on top of another foot? He stands with his feet, but he puts one foot on top of another foot. Is it only a problem if you stand on somebody else's foot? Or is it a problem even if you stand on your own foot? Why? Because the question that the Sfasemis is asking is, what is the psul by standing on somebody's, on standing feet? Is the issue of chatzitza? So somebody's own body can't be a chatzitza for himself. If the issue, however, is that it's not the way an avoid is supposed to be done, you're supposed to be standing on the floor, not supposed to be standing on something else, so you're not supposed to have one leg standing on top of another leg, and therefore will be puzzled. One more nice verse that I saw the Mefarshim say. We all remember The Rashi, he's actually quoting a Gemara, says that Moshe Rabbeinu was very tall. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was tall? Because the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that erected the Mishkan, and he put the roof of the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was 10 amos tall. So how did he reach the top? He must have been very, very tall. So ask the Mefarshim, what's the right that he was very tall? He could have brought a ladder. And then you don't have to be so tall to put it on top. But our Mishnah says that when you do an avodah in the Azara, you have to stand on the floor of the Azara. So you can't bring a ladder to the Azara. So how did he reach the top? It must be because he was very tall.